Now, Pastor Elisha Savinder comes from a Sikh Punjabi background. And I always say, you know, if somebody from his background become a Christian, he's a dangerous man, right? And because there's a fire in people like him, right? And so, you know, he and his wife started their work in Central. When he came back from Bible College, started that the work in Central, one of the areas that really needs God. So we hear his story and started ministering to those who are from the poor area. And one of the things that they constantly do is to reach out to people who really need the love and care of God. And rightly so, to raise poor students from the slums was written, all right, to shape them into agents of transformation. So we're going to hear some stories about that. And we are... No, what Pastor Elisha has been popularly known, I call it, is this Harvest Center. It used to be called Harvest Center, but now it's called Dignity for Children, a school that he runs for many of these disadvantaged, you know, foreigners in our land. And so we're going to hear some great story from him even this morning. Let's put our hands together and welcome Pastor Elisha. All right. And like I say, you know, he's here. I pray, I told him, please, you know, don't comfort us too much, distress us a little bit, all right, so that, you know, we will not leave this place without thinking about God's call for our lives. Amen? All right, why don't you stretch your hands to the front, and we're going to pray for Pastor Elisha. Father, thank you again for all that you're going to do, even this morning. We come with great expectation, God, because your Spirit is here. And so, Lord, open our spiritual eyes and ears that we may see and to hear, Lord, the things you want us, Lord, to receive in our spirit. And so we pray and commit, Lord, Pastor Elisha, to you. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you. Bless you. Good morning, everyone. Okay, let's try that again. Good morning, everyone. Wonderful. How's everybody doing? We'll pray for healing for all the English fans. Okay. And you know, that's an amazing testimony, Pastor Chris. This morning, when my wife and I were praying for you all in the church, one of the things my wife started praying was for healing. Actually, until you told me, and she went off on praying on healing, and she said, "You know, will you believe that this morning tell them that the Lord is going to heal people?" So, thank you for that underwhelming response. God is going to heal some lives here today. Amen? And so we're going to believe that. So when your pastor gives the call, don't wait too long. Come up, run up. But we also felt one of the things was God wanting to restore different people in your business. Some of you have gone through a hard time, a difficult time. And this morning, as my wife and I prayed with our other children, we just felt that there's going to be a restoration of different ones in your business. So at the end, there'll be a few different calls, and your pastor will do what is necessary. And we want to pray for you all as well. And today I have faith also, after hearing our dear pastor, if you want to believe for good looks, you can believe for good looks. You know, okay. You know, Pastor Gilbert, we was praying for you this morning, for you and your wife. And I felt the Lord drop a scripture in my heart, if that's all right, yeah? This is from Proverbs 13:12. It says, "Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a longing fulfilled is a tree of life." And I just feel this is a season that the Lord is going to... the word that kept coming to me was a burst of joy. And there seems to be like a cloud over more of your wife. But I feel the Lord coming and bringing, restoring joy, restoring hope. And it's a brand new season. And I want to speak that into your heart, in your spirit, for your wife and for you. Amen? The Lord is good. Amen. Again, good morning, everyone. Your pastor said not 3 hours, but 2.5 hours. So, okay, that's fine. I want to talk, my topic that I called, my theme today is the most unlikely person, it's you. Can you turn around and tell somebody, you are a most unlikely person? Okay? Most unlikely person. We're going to read from the Gospel of Luke chapter 10. Verse 25 to 37, and in your tradition, let's all stand and read the scriptures together. And read it out loud. And Let's believe that the Lord, even at this state, is going to just stir our hearts this morning. Let's read this together. And a lawyer stood up and put him to a test, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And he said to him, "What is written in the law? How does it read to you?" And he answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." I want you to read that last part again. "And your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live." But wishing to justify himself, he said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied and said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among robbers, and they stripped him and beat him. And he went away, leaving him half dead. And by chance, a priest was going down on that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite also, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan who was on a journey came upon him, and when he saw him, he felt compassion and came to him and bandaged up his wounds, pouring oil and wine on them. And he put him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. On the next day, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper and said, 'Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I return, I will repay you.' Which of these 3 do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell into the robber's hands?" And he said, "The one who showed mercy toward him." Then Jesus said to him, "Go and do the same." Amen. Please be seated. If you remember earlier on, his premise of the question is, how do you inherit eternal life? How do you inherit eternal life? And Jesus says, obey. And he says, okay, what is it? Do this. Fantastic. Wanting to push it a bit further. Who is my neighbor? Don't you wonder then? Who's my neighbor? In our mind, many a times, it's a spatial difference. It's in the space that we are in. That's my neighbor. But that's not the understanding of Scripture. It's more than that. Pastor Chris talked about a bit of what we do. My wife, Patrina, and I have been, of course, we pastor a church. At the same time, we work amongst the urban poor. We work amongst refugees. And over the years, as I read Scriptures, as I engage in this thing, in this work, I realize we cannot ignore the poor. No matter what we say, what we do, how we position our churches, we cannot ignore the poor. And we cannot especially ignore the beaten down and refugees. People may be beaten down in different areas of life, not like the individual we read who was physically beaten. People are beaten up emotionally, mentally, all kinds of tormenting experiences in their lives. They go through various things. We cannot ignore this. Just thinking of the world refugee problem, do you know there are 25 million refugees in the world? 25 million, almost the population of Malaysia. Okay? And check this. Half of them are under 18 years. Are under 18 years. You're talking about almost 13 million of all these refugees are under 18. Tell me, what does the future look like for them? The reasons that they run away from their countries, they flee, we all know as we read. Conflicts, wars, civil wars, ethnic and religious issues, ethnic cleansing. And so many of them. Now, these are refugees running. The millions that have died. Double the number. The millions that have died because of these conflicts. And things are not looking any better. The church cannot be in its comfort zone. The church cannot go on as usual. It cannot be business as usual. If we, as your theme says, can you read your theme? Your theme, church, yeah. Can you read that? Some would like to step out. This is step in. That means a very conscious, intentional action. Making the most of every opportunity. To make the most of opportunity, you take a step. You move forward. To make a difference, you take the first step. Just a few more statistics on refugees and the misplaced. 45,000 people are displaced daily, not weekly, not monthly, not yearly, daily. And again, most of them, more than half, are children and teenagers. You know, it's so wonderful to see children running around and playing. You go to some of these places, it really breaks your heart when you see the children. Malaysia, this is documented, the undocumented are more. 200,000 refugees and asylum seekers. 80,000 live around us here in Kuala Lumpur, Selangor. 80,000 of them, imagine that, Pastor Chris. Wow. Opportunity? I think we all have an amazing opportunity. Thank you for that underwhelming response again. Church, we have an amazing opportunity. More than we can imagine, an amazing opportunity. And half of them are children. And do you know, many of these girls from certain ethnic groups are not allowed to leave home. They already flee from their country. Some are born here. And then on top of that, they're not allowed to get out of their homes. If you wait for them to come to you, it ain't going to happen. You got to step in there and take the opportunity. You have to go to them. So 30,000 of these 80,000 children are not in school. They have no education. They have no opportunity. They are illiterate, and they will continue to be illiterate, and they will continue to be bullied in life. 30,000 just in our city alone. We may not think much of this, but imagine the exploitation they go through, the human trafficking that takes place. They get indoctrinated by religious extremists and many other vices. I remember one girl that I worked with, she was quite a slow learner, but the father and mother had taken money from the loan shark, and they signed things. Now, mom and dad can't read, so they signed. Little to realize they're going to be harassed for a sum of 2,000 ringgit. You know what was worse? They said, we will take your daughter to cancel the debt. 2,000 ringgit. Of course, that came to our attention, and we worked at it, and we really had to work hard and call different people and try to engage these loan sharks. But imagine being illiterate, signing documents, and almost losing your 15-year-old daughter to human traffickers because you took money that you needed to put food on the table for and pay rental. This is happening in our city. Church, that's an opportunity for you. And you know what? They are your neighbors. Turn around, nudge somebody and say, that's my neighbor. Not their neighbor, huh? That's my neighbor. Come on, be obedient now. These people are beaten up, not physically as what we read in Luke 10, but they are beaten up in different ways. Now, Patrina and I started working with these people, or rather the marginalized, 20 years ago. This year, September, we have a booth outside there. Do visit in. 20 years of doing this work. Never did we ever imagine that we would have gone this far. We have seen the good, the bad, and the ugly, if you like good Westerns, yeah? We have seen over 7,000 young people and children come through, and they have been from 20 different countries. We have the first Montessori. Anybody familiar with the word Montessori? We have the first Montessori for the poor in the whole of Southeast Asia. So, and we give that to refugees and the urban poor. That is restoring. That's taking opportunity. You know, when we first started it, my wife was so nervous because we had to invest a lot. in the whole program. And the first day she came in, then these kids came in from the squatter community. They sat in the center because in the center of the room, the place was too neat for them. And my wife was also nervous and she's not supposed to intervene. And then the girl slowly gets up and starts working at the apparatus. Today we've started Montessori's different parts of West Malaysia and in East Malaysia, in kampungs in Sabah and Sarawak. And you know what? They carry on. We don't put our names on it. But you know something? They are making a difference where they are at. They're taking opportunity, amazing opportunities, and bringing education to people who otherwise will just stay home and do nothing about it. So we've seen young men come through, and half of my school is Muslim. They're from 20 different countries. And this young man comes in who can hardly read and write. And today he's in the United States. He's become a believer. And you know something? He runs a sports center because he picked it up here and got trained by some of the best people around. And he had the opportunity, those of you older, to kick the ball with Ryan Giggs and all these different people. And you know, when Barcelona came down, they closed the stadium down and they picked in 50 of our students. So those of you who want Lionel Messi's T-shirt shirt signed, see me about it. Just 100,000, very simple. Yeah. Imagine these kids who have no decent home to stay in, meeting Neymar and Lionel Messi. Can you imagine what this does to them? Man, it does something crazy to all of their lives. Young man comes in, 10 years old, cannot read, cannot write. You want to give up, right? It's not easy to engage them because they come in with a baggage of issues. Today, he is going to graduate from Monash University and one of the first Rohingyas to graduate from university. And you know what he's doing? Rahman is amazing. I said, Rahman, I cannot reach your community. I've done my part. I can only do so much. But I said, you are the change maker. You are going to make changes. You are going to inspire them. You are going to stop child marriages. You are going to do something different. You know what? You are taking that opportunity. Make the difference. But you know, church, invest in people. Then they will make the difference. You make the difference first. This young lady comes in from Sri Lanka. She huffed and puffed. He didn't really like coming to school, and we started pushing her because we thought, hey, she's got some great potential. In the midst of it, she encountered the Lord's great love, and her life began to change. Today, she's doing medicine in the United States. Isn't that amazing? She's going to graduate. But imagine if we give up and say, we're tired of this. How long am I going to do this? You know why? They are my neighbors. They are my neighbors. Young men, Chinese boy, mixed parentage. Father gets involved in all kinds of nonsense. Takes him to the cyber cafe. He's about 6 years old. In fact, we go to the booth. His story is there in one of the pamphlets. Drops him there and says, I'll come back and get you. And leaves some money with him. Oh, you know the story. He never shows up. He sleeps outside the cyber cafe for a few days. The coffee shop guy notices it, helps him out, but then gets worried that he might get arrested by the authorities. Calls the police. The boy doesn't know where his home is because it's the way the route the father took. He can't remember anyone's name. He doesn't know his mother's name because he just knows her as Mama. Doesn't know the father's name, just calls him Papa. Poor kid. They dump him into the orphanage. Years later, through God's provision, one of the mother's friends saw some write-up in the paper and noticed his picture. Went there, picked him up. But now, he's been delayed educationally. So around 12 years old, he comes to us. Go soon. Today, he has interned in French restaurants, and he's going to graduate from 3KDU with culinary arts. In fact, if Dato' CQ are here, thank you, because he's got a full scholarship and he's going to graduate and he's going to run his own cafe. You know something? He's my neighbor. And there are many of them like him who are your neighbors. You know, you have a drug home, right? It's not a drug home. They are your neighbors. Stop referring it to it as a drug home. That's what I feel, you know. They have names, they have lives, they have issues, and you know what? They just need you to take an opportunity with them. I remember years ago speaking at a conference, and it was of ex-street workers, prostitutes, drugs, and just a whole bunch of different people. This was Chuck Olson's conference. And this young man comes up, and I had half the mind he might be having HIV, but he was full-blown AIDS. And I hugged him. But in hugging him, I didn't realize what was going to happen. He broke down and wept like a baby. I get a call a few weeks later, and this guy says, "Hey, Pastor, you remember this guy?" I said, yeah, I do. He said, "I just want you to know he died this morning." I said, "Oh." I said, "I'm sorry." He said, "No." He said, "These were the best 2 weeks of his life because he felt he encountered God. All that guy needed was somebody to say, 'You are my neighbor. You matter to God. You matter to God.'" You see, we always are comfortable with people who smell like us, who look like us. Our own ethnicity, people who think like us, talk like us, dress like us. We love it. But the moment it's a bit different, we change our attitudes. But it doesn't happen here. It only happens in Sendul. Yeah. You know, come on, I'm saying it happens here. Come on. Another girl comes. We pick her up. It's a young girl, a whole family. She had an amazing reputation in school and in all the different 7-Elevens. She had a picture there. Not because she was an outstanding student, but she shoplifted all the time. And we had a serious time with this girl. She became one of my adopted children. Patrina and I adopt 20 kids. You'll see a picture soon. Today, she's the first to graduate from college in the entire family of 11 kids. From all her uncles and aunties, cousins and all that, and you're talking about 30, 40 of them, the first one to get through college today is up north, working with a group of Orang Asli kids, educating them. Praise God, isn't it? Was she easy? No. Was it worth it? Every single pain was worth it. You know why? She's my neighbor. It's worth it. Three of my kids, two refugees, one girl who had dropped out from the Chinese school because couldn't take the pressure, borderline depression. She's got 3 A stars in her IGCSE from 5 subjects. All 3 of them, 2 refugees, interned, guess where? The World Bank. The World Bank took them in for 3 months. Imagine now, they have finished their IGCSE. When they get to go to another country, just that CV at 18 years old says World Bank intern. You think it does something to them? You think it does something for their future? You think it's easy? No. One of the girls we picked up, horribly abused in life, became again one of my foster kids. And for the first time in her life, sat in a plane a few months ago because Manchester City flew her in for a 10-day training with all the people you dream about meeting. What an amazing thing that happened to her. Threw up like crazy in the plane, first time sitting in a plane. You know? But amazing, 19-year-old girl now has dreams about how she can be a world changer. She has dreams about how she can take opportunities. Now, opportunities are before us all the day. Sometimes we want too obvious opportunities, but if you look hard enough, they are there, but maybe not convenient enough for us. Barcelona. 2.5 years ago, President Barack Obama visited us. That was an amazing experience. And again, it was because of what we were doing. Early this year, I got a call from the UN, and that was an amazing experience and a very pleasant one, that we had won an award that we never even wrote for. And it was bringing dignity to refugee children. And we were flown to the United Arab Emirates, met the king and the queen, and, we got the award. But I must tell you one thing. Pastor Chris, one of the things I learned, this is a Muslim nation. They demonstrated love that I had never seen before. The respect they show, it's amazing. And they all know I'm reverend. They all know you're a Christian. But amazingly, I learned a lesson from these people. The love, the respect, and the kindness that they showed me. Never before I experienced from anybody else. What an amazing... And I was telling my wife, I said, Pat, why won't people respond to them? Look at the way they treat you. It's simplicity, but they give you honor and respect. I think sometimes the church can learn respect a bit more. I think people in position can learn respect a bit more. I think sometimes it's just lip service, but we don't demonstrate it. Nobody owes anybody anything. True, church? But we owe people love. That's what Scripture says. You owe no man nothing, Romans, but you owe them love. And I think love, the conspiracy of kindness, will touch people's heart where you and I can never imagine how it can happen. We had Prince Ali walk in and spend 2 hours with us, did the opening of our Faisal Cup. And Faisal Cup is another story that came through tragedy, a Rohingya boy drowning, to pick up a stupid 10 ringgit ball from the river. And he drowns, he dies. Through that, this is our 13th year of doing Faisal Cup. And we have seen people come and celebrate. We see hundreds of them every year, between 800 to 1,200 children who come from all over the city to have a carnival of a time. And they all, and whenever they ask you why you do it, I said, because you know something? God loves you so amazingly well. It doesn't matter what their persuasion of faith is, but they will encounter the compassion of God. Through that, we've started transformational enterprises, whether it be EatX Dignity, some of you have come, it's a cafe. All the proceeds go to the education of children. It's also training the children. We have urban gardens, rooftop gardens. We have all kinds of things. But you know one thing? Do you MC? You are part of it because every year you contribute amazingly to some of the work we do. Thank you. Thank you so much. And Jesus, what does he call all these people? Our neighbors. He calls them our neighbors. There are many around us who are bruised and battered in life. We cannot just pass them by, as we saw about the Levite and the priest. We cannot ignore them. They are our neighbors. I want to show you a video of Rashid's story. And we have hundreds of Rashids at Dignity and who have graduated. This is Rashid's story.
Saya berumur 16 tahun. Saya dari asal Myanmar. Dulu saya duduk di belakang pasar. Masa kecil-kecil lah. Tempat ni semua biasa itu saya kawan kan. Dia ada belajar kat sini. Saya biasa datang sini dengan dia. Lepas tu nanti pek semua pergi rumah saya. Dia orang tengok. Lepas tu dia cakap lah, masuk sekolah dengan kita lah, belajar. Dapat knowledge sikit kan. Saya masuk kan. Lepas tu selama saya belajar kat sini dah 5 tahun saya belajar kat sini. Sampai tingkatan 2. So, masa tu keluarga saya susah sangat. Parents dia kalau mampu kerja, dia orang kerja lah. So, tak sihat. Orang tua kalau mampu dia orang kerja, tak mampu dia orang tak kerja. So, keluarga saya tak ada berapa support lah. So, saya menolong kat keluarga saya kan. Ambil beban. Ayah saya pun sakit, mak pun sakit. Haji nak bagi adik belajar, saya nak tolong lah, berhenti sekolah. Hati saya memang nak belajar, tapi kerana keluarga saya berhenti lah. Saya datang cari Antibet, menolongkan saya, dia bagi kerja, workshop. Lagipun kita pakai UNC lah, tak ada orang nak bagi kerja kan, susah nak bagi, dapat kerja. Ilmu ni memang penting pada hidup. Kalau ada ilmu, kawan bersalam. Kalau tak ada ilmu, tak ada orang nak berkawan. Harapan saya, kalau sukses, saya nak menolong Kak Harvest. Apa macam dia menolong kat saya, saya nak menolong dia orang. Tapi saya tak boleh memang, apa benda saya buat pun, saya tak boleh berterima kasih kat dia. Kalau Antipan dengan pasta hari ini tak ada, tak tahu lah hidup saya macam mana. Mungkin pergi kutip sampah, kerja tepi jalan, sapu.
My name is Zenoche, I'm 9 years old.
Hello, my name is Emma and I am 10 years old.
Hi, my name is Fairoz, I'm 9 years old.
Thank you. I want to show you a picture of my family. That's my family. There's one or two missing. And so it's obvious who's my wife, okay? And those two ladies next to her are our biological daughters. And the rest are children that we have embraced and made them our own. And we've raised different ones. Some of them are married. They've got families. But these are the ones that are with us right now. Most of them live with us. And they make life very interesting for you. And each one has an amazing story which takes you beyond convenience and asks you very hard questions. What will you do? And if you notice, of course, I'm Punjabi. My name, Satvinder, if you didn't realize that. My wife is a Chinese. Can you imagine two of the most racist people's group in Malaysia? But none of you here, don't worry. Yeah. We are racist. We are prejudiced. And I tell you, my wife is the one with the children exposed the racist in my heart. My wife will walk into squatter areas, kids who have defecated in their pants, if they have a pants. She will pick them up in their broken down squatter homes. Okay? You trust me. I may spoil your lunch for you, okay? And sometimes the stench is so bad, you think twice whether you want to walk in, okay? It's a little place. The toilet, you can see it there. There's nothing much happening. And she would go in with the tea, and she will clean the house up. She will wash their toilets. I said, Pat, you need acid to clean that place up. She said, you just let me do it. I'm like, okay. You know, I said, darling, my calling is to pray. Why don't you go ahead? godly men like us. Yeah. And she would pick these kids up. Trust me, it's not, YSL cologne or... No, it's a different kind of cologne. She will be kissing them. I'm like, darling, wash your mouth before you. Oh, if you want to kiss me after that, just think about it again. Yeah. I'm a man of God, yeah. And she will wash them up. And these are Indian kids, these are Rohingya kids. All. And for them is, what is this China woman doing in our place, this Chinese lady, doing all this? Because they are our neighbors. Do you think you need to say John 3:16 to them? You need four spiritual laws? You need nothing. Compassion and love is a language that crosses boundaries you and I cannot imagine. It's walking and sitting down with drug addict fathers and mothers and just guys who are in triads and brokering deals with them and saying, can I have your children? I will raise them up on one condition. You don't bug them and tell all your other boys, don't bug them. Let me take care of them. And today, you know, some of them whose dads and moms have, prison is a second home. Today they have gone through high school and they are working and they've got families and they are out of that cycle. It can be done. Is it easy? No, it's never easy. Is it convenient? It's not. Al Gore, I said yesterday, had this thing called the inconvenient truth. I tell you something, there's nothing convenient about the gospel of Jesus. Nothing convenient. It cost him his life. What does it cost us? Time? Money? Inconvenience? It does. Because if we are going to make an impact in the world, it cannot be on nice cushioned seats. I'm sorry, but you know. It cannot be. Because the only impact you make is just feeling good for an hour or so. We can't. You see, the issue goes beyond just refugees. The issue is more about the marginalized in our society. It's about the poor. It's about the less fortunate. It's about stateless. It's about the migrant. It's about those people who are bullied, even in school. I challenge young people. Why do you always get so trapped with peer pressure and you want to hang around with those people you want to be seen with, the hobnobbers, you know? And we always want to be seen with the right people at work, at business, but we will never go and make friends with people who are rejected by the others because we feel our value may go down. But those are the people exactly Jesus went to. Because that's where your opportunity is. You know, I hear churches always, you know, hey, Dato so-and-so is with me, Tan Sri, MP. But I've never said, you know what, when you come to my church, you will see sprinkled through the church, the poor, the refugee, and all these different people, they are in the midst, they are worshiping with us, together with us. You know what? They are one because they are my neighbor. They are my neighbors. I had people leave the church, you know, Pastor Chris. Oh, yes. I had people walk out and say, you choose between them and them, them and us, our children and their children. Wow. I said, I will miss your tithe and your offering. I might miss you. God bless you. And I'm not kidding. It happened many times. I kid you not. It happened many times. Convenient? God's heart for them is a heart of compassion. And you know how it's expressed? Through you and me. Because he didn't say they are my neighbors. He said they are your neighbors. In Matthew 25, he separates the goat and the sheep. And he says, come into my kingdom. When I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. When I was naked, you clothed me. When I was in prison, you visited me. Said, when did we see you, Lord, you? See, we always go for personalities, isn't it? And we did this to you. He said, verse 40 is a life changer for me. He says, as much as you did this to the least, read this again in the scripture, of my brethren. He didn't say the least of society. He said, as much as you did this to the least of my brethren, Jesus identifies with the fracture of society. He said, you did it to me. And likewise, when he said, be damned, you, he says, when did we see you? I mean, if we saw you, we will do it. You see, we love to engage those who have some status in society. Only in Central, it's not here. Yeah. We love to engage them. Sometimes we don't want to be seen. Maybe for photo shoots, we want to hang around with the poor. I often say seminary educated my mind, but the poor and refugees educated my heart. You know, pastors, they showed me what a hypocrite I am, how far I am from God, how little I know scripture. They drove me on my knees. They took me back to the Word of God. And I learned something that I would have never learned. They are my professors. They are my teachers. We have racism. We have ethnic prejudices. We have social status issues, religious bigotry. Not outside in society, in the church. And everybody said, ouch. If we can deal with this, we are God's redemptive healing agents. You imagine, you want to touch a nation? Love people like Jesus loved them. Don't look at status, don't look at anything, embrace them. The challenging thing is, will you take them home? My friend, I can say that because I've done it for 20 years now. So, part of losing half of my sanity, I can say that. But you know something? I'll never exchange it for anything else. I'll never. The Indians, amongst them, have a big issue. The caste system still kills them. Even in church, you know when it really happens? When there are two kids who want to get married. That's when they have to check the background of the other fella. Where does he work? Which part of India do you come from? We have cliches. We love everyone until our son or daughter brings the Punjabi or the Chinese or the Punjabi or the Indian home. Then we change our tone. Right? No, it doesn't happen here. Yeah. Come on, we have such racial prejudice. I can say it on terms because I'm married to one Chinese, yeah? Tell me what words we call the Indians. I know a bit of Cantonese, I had to impress my in-laws. Indians, what do you call the Chinese? Chinese and Indians, what do you call the Malays? Church, Jesus never discriminated anyone. Pick once. In fact, he rebuked the Jews. If we want to see really a demonstration, your theme again, making most of every opportunity. Show them the love at the workplace, in college, and in universities. Don't separate through ethnicity. See God work through it. I can tell you, like your pastor said, more than 3 hours, I can tell you story after story after story where all these walls break down and people's hearts start responding to God. Amazing. Let me finish with a few thoughts. Let's not use slogans and say no to racism. No. Be a person of action. In taking this step of justice. Yeah, we can go to Bersih rallies, but you know what? Go to racist rallies and deal with it. Like I said last night, the new government is not your savior. Jesus is our savior. Okay? The new government is not going to bring an amazing turnaround in our... You know something? Give them 5 years, then I will say if they've done it or not. Because remember, all men are fallen. Huh? Okay? So if you put a hope on that, we're going to be very disappointed. We already see cracks. So, you know what? Don't celebrate. We've got this MP, this person, that person, a Christian. Hey, the church, you are God's redemptive agent. And all these people are our neighbors. We have a moral obligation. You don't need a prophet. You don't need hands laid on you. You don't need a calling. It's a commandment. They are all our neighbors. Thank you for that underwhelming response again. Hey, church, don't put it on T-shirts. Wait on your heart. Don't put it on T-shirts. They are all our neighbors. The moment you walk out of this door, they are your neighbors there waiting for you. They are waiting. The Samaritans were persecuted, racially marginalized, hated, rejected by the Jews. Who stops to this beaten man? The Samaritan. Who was the one who was beaten up? A Jew. Who passed by? The Jew. The two likely people who should have stopped did not stop. The person most unlikely to stop, stopped. There's an opportunity. He brought healing and restoration. Jesus asks a question. Who was neighbor to him who had fallen to the... Who showed mercy to the one who had fallen? Very hard for them to say Samaritan. You realize it doesn't say Samaritan there? The one who showed mercy. Justice, mercy, and walking upright with God. Micah. That's our call. That's our call. In closing, and then we're going to have an amazing prayer time here. We're going to see people healed and transformed. But I want to add one more to that call. Pastor Chris, if that's all right. Is you taking the challenge to be the most unlikely person? Is you taking the challenge to be a person who demonstrates the compassion of Jesus? Who will say, I will move out of inconvenience or convenience and comfort, and I want to make a difference. You know who are the people who pass by? These are four things I have. People who pass by can help, but won't help. They can help. They'll ask their son to go, husband to go, wife to go. They won't go. They'll give the church some money. They said, you go. They are lost in a world of being safe. The Levite and the priest, that path was called the bloody path because of the blood shed by the robbers. Maybe they were concerned, if I stop, somebody may rob me. In fact, the guy who is lying there could be play acting and he could stand up and stab me and take my money. Play safe. Let's go. We cannot play safe and see a nation come to the Lord. Church, I'm going to say that again. We cannot play safe and see revival take place in the country. We cannot play safe and see people streaming in, encountering the amazing love of God. We cannot play safe to see this happen. Taking an opportunity is not playing safe. See compassion based on worth, not need. Why? They said, is this person worth my time? Is this person worth my money? Maybe not. You don't decide then. The Lord has decided it already. We are too busy with our everyday life. We don't want to be interrupted. Or we are caught up with empty, shallow religion's life that says, I see the need, but I will not do anything. Do you MC? How will you respond this morning? How will you respond? The needs are there, all around you. Your neighbor is waiting for you out there. Your neighbor is waiting for you out there. How will you respond this morning? What will you do? You are the most unlikely person. The 12 were the most unlikely people. They turned the world upside down. Count Zinzendorf, the rich young ruler who gave everything. He reached a group of people who were refugees from Czechoslovakia. We know them as the Moravians. They started what we call the 110-year prayer meeting that never stopped, that impacted Europe. But one man decided to demonstrate compassion because they were his neighbors. You are the most unlikely person. Let's stand this morning, Pastor Chris. Be challenged to get out of your comfort zones today.
Church, like every weekend, at the end of every sermon, I want to encourage you to ask this question. What is the Holy Spirit saying to you right now? Not what Pastor Elisha said, but in the midst of all that, what is the Holy Spirit saying to you? I want to give you some time right now to just ask the Holy Spirit that question. What are you saying to me, Lord? You know, every time when I preach, I hold out the Bible and I say, the Bible informs my mind. All of us are informed in our mind right now. We say the Word of God inspires our hearts. And some of you, you know, you are so inspired right now. In fact, some of you, like myself, were just tearing at certain parts of His message. I recognize the heart of God in what He's preaching. And we're inspired. But the most important thing is that it must instruct our behavior. Meaning that when we walk out this door, what are we going to do about what we heard? I think that's the key. So when you do ask the Holy Spirit right now, what are you saying to me? Will you do that for the next 30 seconds? Just ask the Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me, Lord? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And I said, this is what the Lord is saying to us as a church right now. You know, for some of us, God has placed something in your heart. It could have come from the many weeks that have passed, or even months, for some of us, years, God has impressed something upon our hearts. We're informed, we're inspired, we never took a step. And so I just sense that this is a time of consecration of our lives. Now, some of you may say, I don't even know what I want to do, or what God wants me to do, or who are my neighbors. But I just sense that right now, that is a time of consecration to say, God, I heard what you're saying this morning. You have spoken to me. I was pausing just now, and I sense in my spirit. What I mean by sense my spirit, I don't want to make this too spiritual here right now, right? Sensing the spirit simply means, for many of us, the heart beat a little bit faster, right? That's what it means, you know, that there's a sensing of the spirit. And when that happens in our life, if we ignore that and we go out, walked out that door, we're going to forget about everything that we experience here. So I just sense this is a time of consecration. Two groups of people. The first group of people, you are already doing this. Right? And the Lord is just challenging you to do more of this. So I want you to consecrate yourself. All right? We're going to have pastors and leaders here to just lay their hands on you and just pray for God's presence to be upon you as you do this. Right? So consecrate yourself to the Lord. That's the first group of people. You are already doing this. We want to pray for you. The second group of people are those, I believe God has already planted this in your mind for a long time. Your heart is stirred, but you say, I don't know what to do. Now, this is the great part. You don't know what to do, right? Ask the Holy Spirit. Right? And so I want to challenge you to come, walk up to the front. Why? Because this is a step of faith, I call it. Because too many of us have not taken the step of faith. We just stand still. And when you stand still, God cannot steer the ship, I call it. It's only by walking that God begins to steer us. So this is a step of walking to the front and say, God, I want to step out by faith. I don't know what yet, but you have laid something upon my heart. My heart is beating a little bit faster now, God. I want to consecrate myself to the Lord. Could you do that? Just two group of people, you're already doing it. And the second group of people are those already, you know, you just sense that the Holy Spirit wants you to do a bit more. And the third group of people, what Pastor Elijah was sharing, business people. He mentioned business people. I sense in my spirit here. You know why God would want to turn you around and bless your business? Because you are going to use that for your neighbor. Right? And so, those of you in business, you know you're going through a hard time. Maybe you are at a crossroad of your life asking, why am I doing this? Right? And I believe God is going to bless some businessmen in our midst here when you consecrate your business to the Lord. All right? So, we're going to sing a song and we're going to pray for healing later. But this is it's a time of consecration. I want the pastors and leaders and even for you know, some of us here to just come and just allow God to do something through our lives. Right? It's a step of faith. I'm going to sing this song. Don't wait, all right? Once you wait, you're going to stay there longer, all right? We can encourage you to just step forward and allow God to do something in your life. Thank you, Lord.
It is to come. It has been the same.